Let's pray. I thank you, Father, for having created us and given us each other in the human family and in the church. Thank you for always being with us in all our joys and sorrows, and for the comfort in our sadness, and your companionship in our loneliness. Thank you for yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and for the whole of our lives. And thank you for the friends, thank you for health, and for your grace, and more than anything else, thank you for your Son Jesus Christ, who showed us your love, your grace, and your glory. And thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is the deposit in our soul for the gift of salvation. May your name be continue to be lifted up from all our lives. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Good to see you all. It's been a while. You know, when you look at the picture of roses that have thorns, what do you see? Some people are grumbling that roses have thorns, and others are grateful that thorns have roses. You know, we are making choices every moment between grumbling and gratitude. Today is 2017 Thanksgiving Sunday. Let me say up front the proposition of today's sermon. The gratitude is the will of God. The opposite of gratitude is grumbling. Gratitude is the guardian of our soul, and grumbling is the cancer of our soul. Which one will you choose? Please turn with me this morning to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It's also written on the screen. It's a word of God. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. First of all, to whom should thanksgiving be addressed? It is primarily and ultimately to God, whom we give our thanksgiving. So God is the recipient of all our thanksgiving. As all prayers are addressed to God, so are our thanksgivings. Someone says, gratitude is hard and grumbling is easy. And gratitude is supernatural and grumbling is natural. Why is this true? So we'll find out today. If God is the center of your life, you can be filled with gratitude. But when you are the center of your life, you can be easily filled with grumbling. God being the center means you are truly believing that your life came from God and your life is destined to God. It also means God is the reason for your life and the object of your worship. So it's not about you, but it's about God. So God-centered life is the life whose focus is God. So life satisfaction for God-centered life does not come from the life itself, but from God. If you think about life, it is a journey. It's a journey of valleys and mountains. And life is an experience of ups and downs, and it is a process of pulls and pushes. And if you truly live a God-centered life, your satisfaction would neither depend on what is happening to you, nor what is happening in the world. Your satisfaction would only from God Himself. You know, Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:11 to 13. Let me read it for you. Philippians 4:11 through 13. I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with human means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. And I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. You know, Apostle Paul's secret satisfaction and gratitude was to look to Christ in all circumstances. You know, Christ literally was the source of his strength and object of his life. You know, I can do all things through Him, Christ, who strengthens me. You know, this is the confession of a person who is living a God-centered life, Christ-centered life. When God is our center, we would be naturally and supernaturally transformed into the most optimistic and most positive and most satisfying person we can be. So gratitude is therefore the presence of God in our life that produces satisfaction and optimism. And the opposite of gratitude is grumbling. I believe Helen Keller would be the person that can complain about all her life circumstances because she was born blind and deaf. But she wrote, I have always thought it would be a blessing if each person could be blind and deaf for a few days during his early adult life. Darkness would make him appreciate sight. Silence would teach him the joys of sound. I was in Singapore this week. You know, each and every day, it was hot and humid and cloudy. And when I arrived here in Dallas yesterday, I saw blue sky. You know, blue sky is not something that you get everywhere. It's indeed a blessing that we live under this beautiful blue sky and the plenty of light, you know. Something that we need to think of. Actually, we live in a very good environment that the rest of the world may not have. And I was in Beijing previous week. Literally, it was, there's a lot of smoke. The air you breathe in, you feel it, that this is not healthy for you. I think sometimes we don't know how blessed we are if you are so used to see this blue sky and, you know, light every day. And it is so easy to slip into a grumbling, frustration and negative attitude by the problems and irritations we face. You know, I think about it, what is the root cause of grumblings? It is the root cause of all grumblings is focus on ourselves. This is called a self-centered life, or it is called pride. A self-centered person tries to make his life controlled by him. A self-centered person who thinks he can control his own life, including his own circumstances. And we are frustrated when we try to change the circumstances with our own ability and fail to do so. Many circumstances cannot be changed easily, and many so-called bad circumstances are given to us by God so that we would cultivate our trust in Him and our dependence on Him. In a sense, circumstances are God's testing. You know why we have so many circumstances, especially bad ones, come one after the other. I believe because it's God's testing on us. And behind all circumstances are the purpose of God. There gotta be some purpose. And the self-centered people try to control these life circumstances to their favor. More often than not, however, they cannot simply change these bad circumstances. In their attempt to change the bad circumstances into good ones, in their eyes, they often would build attitude of grumbling. As long as the circumstances remain bad, their grumbling would also persist. And thus, grumbling becomes their character. This is very sad. I was thinking about the Israelites when they got out of Egypt. What happened to them? Have you ever wondered why God allowed Israelites to wander 40 years in the wilderness? They were, by and large, did not like their circumstances. They did not realize that there was God's purpose behind their life in the wilderness. You know, God's purpose was to make the Israelites the nation of the priests. They were enslaved for 430 years, but when God saved them, delivered them out of the bondage of Egypt, God wanted to raise them to the people who worship Yahweh out of many nations. So that was God's purpose behind the wilderness life for Israelites, but they didn't realize that God had purpose for them. Every wilderness experience was meant to be a training wheel for them to cultivate the right spirituality. In a sense, our life is not much different. We may be living in the wilderness just like Israelites were. It's a testing so that we would cultivate the character that can be worthy of God's purpose. Let's think about what happened to Israelites. As soon as they got out, they complained because their food they carried ran out, and thus they were starving. And then God provided manna and quails from heaven. But when their stomach was filled, then they began to find other reasons to grumble. This time they grumbled about the bitter water, and they grumbled about being thirsty later. And Miriam and Aaron grumbled about Moses' leadership. And the people complained about how difficult it looked to enter the promised land, so they refused to enter the promised land. And then they complained about and wanted to kill Moses this time. They tried to select another leader. And when God killed people because they grumbled against Moses, they grumbled again and accused Moses of killing God's people. And then they complained about later because of no water again, and they complained about against God and Moses at number 21, verse 4 to 5. So Numbers is about the record of their grumblings over and over again. If you count how many times they grumbled, I counted it's about 14 times, obvious event, and they complain over and over again. And this pattern continued for 40 years. Day in, day out, they were filled with a grumbling heart because they focused on themselves and tried to change their bad circumstances into good ones, but it never happened. How's your life? How's your life? Gratitude was the will of God for the Israelites. instead of cultivating gratitude, they grumbled. And grumbling is a serious offense and disobedience. I was thinking why the Israelites didn't make to the land of promise, because I believe they disobeyed by cultivating this grumbling. Grumbling has become their character. God did not honor that at all. And they didn't make the promised land. But compared to the Israelites, I was thinking about who really cultivated the spirit of gratitude. By the way, it was the pilgrims. You know, pilgrims responded very differently against their bad circumstances. You know, pilgrims is the one who instantiated or instituted the first Thanksgiving, as you know. The first Thanksgiving dates back to 1621. In December 11, 1621, the pilgrims celebrated their first Thanksgiving in America. Approximately a year earlier, 102 people set sail from Plymouth, England, arrived to America to seek out their religious freedom. And after a tiring journey across the Atlantic Ocean and harsh New England winter, only 55 out of 102 survived. And it was those 55 joined by Native Indians who paused to thank God for the goodness and their survival. If you think about it, those 55 people had much reason to grieve over and to be in self-pity and even depression. They had watched friends and loved ones die in their face, and hunger and pain had been a constant companion, and no one can blame them if they choose to express grumbling instead of gratitude. However, they responded to their bad circumstances of their lives with a perspective that they confessed, God has allowed this for our good. And they instituted a spirit of gratitude in this land, which is very foundational value for the Christian, only Christians on this land. God has allowed this for our good. So they looked from God's perspective why God allowed these predicaments for them. So they cultivated perseverance and trust in Him in this new land of liberty. And they are the foundation of the Christian values in this country. To date, we still celebrate Thanksgiving to God because of them. So the secret of developing gratitude is to look to God and see our lives from God's point of view. You know, at times that's not that easy. If you are stuck with this world, we tend to look at it from our own perspective and with our selfish idea. You know, each and everything that is happening in our life has its own purpose and its meaning from God. In good times, God wants us to celebrate with Him all the blessings He granted to us. And in bad times, God wants us to cultivate perseverance and humility, and yet still give thanks to Him. That's what happened to the pilgrims. I was thinking about another person in the Bible whose life was an example for us. It's Joseph. Joseph lived a life of gratitude, not because his life was always filled with good circumstances. His life was actually filled with so many sufferings and bad circumstances. But Joseph said to his brothers near the end of his life in Genesis 50:20, "What you meant for evil, God meant for good." So at the end of his life, he was able to see his life from God's perspective, why he endured so much suffering, so much predicament, because God has purpose for the Israelites. You know, God-centered life elevates us to a different level. I believe Joseph, at the end of his life, was elevated to a different level. That is an example for all of us. Let's go back to our verse. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, if you look at this verse, in everything, that's the important key word, and also in Christ Jesus. This verse is sandwiched between in everything and in Christ Jesus. It is God's will for us to give thanks to him. In everything means in good times and in bad times. You know, how can you give thanks in everything? You know, when things are good, we still need to cultivate gratitude to God. You know why? Because when things are going well, we often forget to give thanks to God, thinking that we are the reasons, you know, for the good things that is happening in our life. You know, when things are not going well, it is harder to cultivate the spirit of gratitude to God. In such situations, we try to make ourselves out of those situations. And deep down, we get frustrated because the bad situations rudely disappear. You know, think about what happened to Joseph. Joseph did not try to get out of his sufferings, but understood that there must be a higher purpose from God. You know, when he was sold as a slave, he didn't know why that happened. And when he went to Egypt, he was sent to the prison with the crime that he didn't commit. He didn't know why he had to suffer. And yet he persevered all those years in the dark dungeon, only to find later that God had a plan to save his father's household out of famine. But there is more. You know, Joseph did not know the ultimate purpose why his father's household was saved. You know, I was thinking, what is the ultimate God's purpose for Joseph's suffering? God had a plan to send his son, Jesus, out of Judah, the fourth son of Jacob. And God saved the family of Jacob through Joseph to fulfill his promise of Messiah. You know, neither Jacob nor Joseph fully understood this grand plan of God to save the mankind out of their clan. You know, it took about 1800 years until Jesus came to this world after the generation of Jacob and Joseph. And only then, people understand why God saved Joseph's family out of famine through Joseph. The point is, there may be some reasons or purpose of God behind your own circumstances you may never understand in your lifespan. Can you believe that? I believe that's what happened to Joseph. Joseph really didn't know that Jesus will come out of his father's, you know, family. So I think no matter what happens in our life, there are certain things that we may never understand, you know, during our lifespan, and only to find the next generation that, you know, following us, understand why that happened. So the point is, in spite of, you know, no matter what happens in our life, we can still give thanks to God. This is the point. In everything, give thanks to God in Christ Jesus. And this verse is now making more sense. Why? In everything, and why? In Christ Jesus. So we have to understand our life from a redemptive purpose of God. And only then everything will make sense. Why bad things happen to Joseph? Why bad thing happens to Jesus? God has ultimate purpose to save us. So we can thank God for all the unresolved issues and the ways you are still waiting for answers. One of the secrets that enables us to give thanks to God no matter what is happening is to look at our life as work in progress. You know what work in progress means? It's not done. It's not over yet, but work in progress. We're eager to see the conclusion of our life. We all want to see good results right away. But the fact of life is that conclusions may not come immediately. And yet, it is God's will to be thankful even for those in Christ Jesus. You may have unanswered prayers for which you have been praying for years. How do you respond when you still face unanswered prayers? You know what you need to do? Thank God, regardless. And see what it does for your soul as you offer Him a heart of thanksgiving, obedience, and surrender. You know, gratitude is so essential. That's why it is the will of God. It's more than attitude. It's more than character. It's actually will of God. God commands us to be thankful. You know, thanksgiving is not just a once-a-year thing that we should think about on the Thanksgiving Day. You know, according to Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7, let me read it for you. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, and rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you are taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. You know, this verse basically tells us gratitude is the guardian of our soul. It lights up to our soul and make our heart turn to the Lord. Again, the concept of in Him, in Christ, is emphasized here as well. You know, continue to live in Him, be rooted and built up in Christ. And if in every circumstance, you put yourself in Christ and guard your soul with thanksgiving. So, do not get caught off guard. And if you get caught off guard, then you will grumble. So guarding our soul with thanksgiving is an act of good fight of faith. It doesn't come naturally. We naturally grumble. So we have to realize when grumbling heart is arising in your heart, we need to catch that moment and turn to Lord Jesus Christ and guard ourselves. Guard our soul with thanksgiving. It's a fight. It's a good fight of faith. So gratitude is the will of God for all of us, no matter what happens in this life, in Jesus Christ. You know, one of the famous theologians of these days, N.T. Wright, says, when we learn to read the story of Jesus and see it as the story of the love of God doing for us what we could do for ourselves, that insight produces again and again a sense of astonished gratitude that is very near the heart of authentic Christian experience. So N.T. Wright is saying basically, if we are authentic Christian, you know, the image of Jesus Christ, his work and his word should produce the inner gratitude from our soul. So gratitude is something that we need to guard. We need to protect so that we don't give in to this temptation of grumbling. It's a fight. It's a good fight. And what do you see this morning in your soul? Is the state of your soul described as gratitude or grumbling? If it is grumbling, it is time to restore God's grace for your life. Grace does not grumble. And grace gives God's gratitude. Gratitude is always the other side of grace. We often grumble because we forget about grace that we received. So we need to be reminded of God's grace bestowed on us, and then the gratitude will follow supernaturally to the glory of God. Christ is your grace. In Christ, we are given a new life. You know, on the plane, I had a chance to recollect my life coming back from Singapore. I don't know if I shared this one with you or not, but I had a car accident in 1986. I think I could have been dead, you know, let me put it this way. Have you seen the car rolling over upside down? What do you see in the movie, right? When you see movie, action movie, those things happen all the time. You know, that happened to me, actually, in 1986. I was driving up from L.A. to San Jose on Highway 5, which is freeway. I was driving perhaps 65 to 70 miles per hour on the first lane. And the going next to me, it was a big station wagon of this color, some kind of, you know, American car, 70s, big station wagon. And it was, you know, old man and woman, probably they're a couple, they were driving. I saw them, they are coming, you know, driving in parallel with me. And it was my mistake. I was kind of going in parallel with them. But all of a sudden, they just tried to change lane, and apparently they didn't see me, and then tried to change lane onto my lane, and then to avoid collision, I stepped on my brake out of my reflex, and then my car lost its balance and began to, like, you know, it's almost like lost balance like that, and then it rolled over a few times, and then there was downhill. And they had a fence to protect those falling cars. And my car got stuck upside down on that fence. You know, when those things happened, I knew that I was going to die. And I was singing hymn. You know, I think that I forgot the exact the hymn, but it was, "Lord, I'm going with you, going to you now. Please take me," that kind of, you know, hymns in my, brain. But God saved my life. I didn't die. My car got stuck upside down, but at the moment, I knew that I lived. Nothing hurt. You know, the car was a Ford. Car was also pretty good shape. It was incredible. Only axle got broken. It cost about $3,000. But car, you know, that car we drove in New Jersey when we moved to New Jersey, you know, later, maybe another 5 years. It was like a miracle. Car was rolling over. you know, I didn't die, and God saved my life. And every moment that I lived since that accident was God's bonus. So I have all the reasons to be thankful to God, no matter what happens to me. But I often forget about that accident, and then sometimes I grumble to God. But I have no reason to grumble because this is bonus. Only by God's grace, I have this luxury of life. You know, having family, having great wife and four children and great church and, you know, people that I have known and all the trips that I make and all the mission opportunities that God has given and so on. You know, everything is just bonus. And I don't deserve any of that. But I have been given those opportunities by God's grace. Whenever I think about that accident, you know, my grumbling disappears. You know, I have no reason, you know, dead men don't grumble. You know, I could have been a dead man back then at the age of 25 or 24. But God extended my life to be able to see the beauty of life that He has given. So let me ask you this question. Do you have family? Yes? Thank God for your family. Amen? And do you have a car? You know, thank God for having a car. It's a great gift. And do you have friends to talk to? And thank God for that. And do you have Bible? You know, thank God for that. It's not something that everyone has. And do you know Jesus? You know, thank God for that. It's not the gift given to everybody. And do you have church to go to? Thank God for that. You know, there are many, many reasons that we should be thankful to God and, you know, live the life of this gratitude, which is the will of God in Jesus Christ, in everything. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you over and over again for everything that we have seen in this life. Even small things like this beautiful weather on Sunday morning, this you know, fresh air we can breathe in, and this facility that we can gather and worship you, and our family members and, you know, our parents, our church members and friends that we know, the children that you have granted to us, not just one, maybe two, and even more, and each and every one. And Father, but above all, you have granted what it means that you love, what it means you save, what it means you you know, what it means, who you are. All those things are shown us through Jesus Christ, your Son. We thank you for that. And thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is the guardian of our salvation in our soul. It's a deposit that you have given us so that we will go into heaven even when we die. We thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. All the moments of grumbling, Father, we repent before your face today. And let those grumblings be transformed into the gratitude to you. We thank you each and every moment that we live. And there may be some things that we will never understand why those things are unresolved. Even that, we thank you because we know that there gotta be good purpose. We may not know in our life, but you will reveal to us in all eternity. And all the prayers answered, we thank you for that. Even unanswered prayers, we give thanks to you because there's a reason why they have not been answered. Lord God, we thank you for your love and your grace and your protection. You're being our God forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
At your name, the mountains shake and crumble. At your name, the oceans roar and tumble. At your name, angels will bow. The earth will rejoice, your people cry out. Lord of all the earth will shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name. The morning breaks in glory. At your name, creation sings your story. At your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry. Lord of all the earth will shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, O Lord.
There's no one like our God.
There is no one like our God. Sing. There is no one like our God. We will praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing. Lord of all the earth will shout your name, filling up the skies. Endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, O Lord. Lord of all the earth will shout your name, filling up the skies. Endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name.
Father in heaven, your name is Yahweh. It's not accident that you reveal your name, but you did with intention. You know, you are the one who was and is and you know, will be forever. We thank you for the name that we understand. You know, our God, who is the creator, redeemer, and sustainer. I am who I am. We thank you, Father. And in everything, Father, let us give thanks to you in Jesus Christ. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and love of our Father who is in heaven and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forever. Amen.